Thank you for that, Michaela, and I thank for the truth of that song that if we're going to reach the world, we have to go out and touch it. And thankful for a Savior that touched the world as well. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to take them and find your place in the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 5. The Gospel of Mark, chapter number 5, and we'll be there momentarily. You know, one of the easiest mistakes that we can make, especially within a church setting, is assuming that people are fine because they look fine. And the truth of the matter is, this morning, a man can walk into church with a Bible in their hand and they can have a storm in his heart. A lady can sing every hymn and still carry within her a secret burden. A family can sit together on the pew and still be facing something at home that nobody but they themselves and their Lord Himself knows about. Some needs are loud, some needs are hidden, some needs are urgent. Some needs have been around for truth, but whatever the need might be, the truth remains is that everybody has needs. If you're here this morning, somewhere in your life, this week, this month, this year, you're going to have a need. And here in Mark chapter 5, where we find ourselves this morning, teaches us something even greater that yes, while everyone has needs, everybody needs Jesus. That no matter what the need is, the answer for that need is Jesus. Mark chapter 4 ends, of course, with Jesus calming the storm. The disciples would ask him, well, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea should obey him? And well, then Mark chapter 5 answers that question for us. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, who himself, he has power over demons and over disease and over death. And the truth we want to see this morning is that the need may change, but Jesus never changes. The need may be different, but Jesus is still the same. The problem may be different, but the power of God is still the same. And so we don't necessarily have a text reading this morning, but because we're going to look at the entirety of Mark chapter number 5. But here in Mark chapter number 5, Mark presents Jesus, or the overall Gospel of Mark itself, presents Jesus as the servant of the Lord. He's constantly moving. He's constantly on the move. He's ministering. He's preaching. He's healing. He's helping. We find the word in Mark chapter number 5, the word straightway. And that word straightway appears again and again in this gospel. We see that Jesus, he is not idle, he is not distant, he is not removed from the needs of people. And here in Mark chapter 5, Jesus crosses the sea into the country of the Chaldeans. And he goes out of his way to reach one tormented man. Of course, we know him as the maniac of Gadara. Then he crosses back and he meets a desperate father named Jairus or Jairus. And then in the midst of helping Jairus, he is interrupted by a suffering woman who was sick with an issue of blood. And then finally, he enters a home where a young girl has died. This chapter, even though it may look it, is not random. It is a gallery of human need. The man in the tombs shows the need of a person bound by sin and Satan. The woman in the crowd shows the need of a person broken and suffering. The daughter of Jairus shows the need of a person beyond human help. And in every case, we see that Jesus is enough. We see Jesus is the answer. I remember, I used to post some really stupid things on Facebook when I was younger. And now Facebook gives you an option. And it's always giving you this option for as far as I can tell. But it gives you an option where you can go back and you can look at your memories and see things you've posted in years past. So it was either yesterday or on Friday, a couple years ago, I posted, for every Christian school kid, when you get a test, at the top of your test, just put Jesus is the answer and turn the test back in and you'll get 100 every time. Now, I don't know how that would necessarily work, but I'm pretty sure that if you just put Jesus as the answer on a test and turned it back in, you'd probably get an A for effort, but probably get an F for the content of the test. But the truth is, this morning, Jesus is the answer. For whatever your need is this morning, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is enough. And so the very first thing we want to see this morning is the captive man. The captive man that Jesus can deliver. Now that story is found there in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. Now for sake of time, we're not going to read every verse of every story, but I do encourage you to go home and read these accounts at some point today. But notice, if you would, verse number 2. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 2, the Bible says, "And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit." And so we see here, as soon as Jesus gets out of the ship, there's a man that meets him. And again, some folks, their need is not immediate. Some folks, their need is not obvious. But this man's need was immediate. This man's need was obvious. And nobody had to wonder if something was wrong. You ever meet somebody and you think, man, there's something off about this person. There's something wrong about this person. Now, we can't always look at somebody and think that or know something's wrong with them. But some people can look at it and say, yeah, there's something off about this person. There's something wrong about him. And well, with this man, that was the case. Something was wrong. The Bible tells us here he lived among the tombs. He cried day and night. He cut himself with stones. He was isolated, tormented. He was out of control. We see several things about this man. Number one, we see he was ruined by bondage. He was ruined by bondage. The Bible says here he had an unclean spirit. His life had been overtaken. He was not living. He was just existing. He was not at peace. He was tormented. And listen, we need to understand something about this morning. And that is that sin always takes people further than where they want it to go. You know, so often we think of sin and we say we can just partake a little bit of it. But it will always take us, before we know it, we'll be so far gone. We'll not even know how we got there, because that's what sin does. Sin isolates, it wounds, it chains, it destroys peace, it robs a person of dignity. We see he was ruined by bondage, but secondly, we see he was restrained by men. Notice verse number 4. The Bible says, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. We see they had tried chains, they had tried fetters, they had tried restraint, but they could not change him. That is the best that the world can do. Without Christ, it's the best that anybody can do. And listen, the world can restrain behavior. Listen, they can lock up the criminals and put them in jail and have them serve a sentence, but it cannot redeem the soul. It just can't be done. Listen, man could chain his hands, but only Jesus could change his heart. And that's what we see thirdly. We see that he was ruined by bondage. He was restrained by men. But then thirdly, we see he was restored by Jesus. He was restored by Jesus. Jesus speaks, and the devils had to obey. Notice verse number 8. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And you notice here, Jesus did not negotiate with the devils. He did not need assistance. He did not need a program. But he spoke with authority. And then notice verse number 15. The Bible says, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And so we see here, Jesus took him from raging to rested, from nakedness to being clothed, from the tombs to a testimony, from madness to a right mind. Listen, that's only something Jesus could do. You imagine a window, or you imagine a house with broken windows. Doors hanging loose, weeds grown up, and everybody says that place is too far gone. But then a master builder buys it, and they restore it, and they make it beautiful again. Listen, that is what Jesus does with ruined lives. When the world says and looks at a person, it says that person is too far gone. And then Jesus comes along, and he gets a hold of their life, and he changes them, and he cleans them up. And now all of a sudden, like this maniac at Gadara, sitting clothed and in his right mind. That's what Jesus can do. And that's what Jesus does do. Our world, they offer all these programs and everything else. And listen, you just go, you pick up a newspaper, you go online, and there's a support group for everything. There's a program for everything. There's a pill for everything. Listen, ultimately what the need is Jesus. Not more programs, not more medicine, not more man's ideas. It's Jesus who can change a person. And so we see the first need here in Mark chapter 5. It was loud. It was visible. But the next need we see was quiet and hidden, and we see that secondly this morning, the crushed woman. The crushed woman. Not only can Jesus deliver, but Jesus can heal. Notice verse 25. Verse number 25, the Bible says, and a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years. This woman was not in the tombs. She was in the crowd. She was not screaming. She was suffering, silently suffering. She did not look like the maniac of Gadara, but she needed Jesus just as much. We see several things about her. Number one, we see her pain was long. 12 years is a long time to hurt. 12 years of weakness, 12 years of disappointment, 12 years of hoping that this is going to be the treatment that works. 12 years of getting worse instead of better. Listen, some people have needs that did not start yesterday. They've carried them for years. And that was this woman. Her pain was long. But then secondly, we see her resources were gone. Her resources were gone. Notice verse number 26. Verse number 26, the Bible says, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. She spent everything that she had on treatments and still had nothing to show for it. Listen, that is a picture of the world without Jesus. That is the picture of a world without Christ. Listen, the world will promise relief, but it cannot make the soul whole. It cannot make the soul complete. Everything else had been taken from her, but Jesus had something still yet to give to her. We see her pain was long, her resources were gone, but then thirdly, we see her faith reached Jesus. Her faith reached Jesus. Notice verse 27 and 28. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. She did not have a long speech. She did not have a public platform. She did not have great strength. But she had faith enough to get to Jesus. Notice verse 29. And straightway, there's that word again. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. We know from other gospel accounts, Jesus knew that she had touched him. The crowd was pressing him, but she touched him by faith. And listen this morning, there's a difference between being around Jesus and reaching out to Jesus. Listen, you're in church this morning, you're around Jesus. But when's the last time you brought your need to Jesus? When's the last time you went to him in prayer? When's the last time you went to him trusting him that he could answer your prayer and your need? Listen, sometimes we think, well, just because we're in church, he's going to take care of everything. And that's not the case. We need to go to him in prayer, trusting him that he's going to answer our prayers. Listen, a person can sit in a doctor's waiting room all day and never be treated unless they personally see the doctor. And listen, you can be near church, you can be near preaching and near hymns and near Christian people, and yet still never personally come to Jesus. Jesus can deliver the captor. Jesus can heal the crushed. But now he walks into a home where the need has become humanly impossible. And that's what we see thirdly this morning. We see first the captive man, the crushed woman, and then thirdly, we see the crisis home. The crisis home. We see Jesus can deliver. We see Jesus can heal. But now, thirdly, we see Jesus can give life. Jesus can give life. You're there in Mark chapter 5. Notice Jairus. He was a ruler of the synagogue. He had position. He had respect. He had religion. But his little daughter was dying. Notice verse number 23. The Bible says, "And besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." Now, time out here. If you're keeping up with the verses and the order they're coming in, you'll notice that Jairus came to Jesus before the woman with the issue of blood. And so Jesus was on his way to Jairus and to his daughter. Because in verse number 23, she was at the point of death. She was not yet dead. So Jesus was on his way to deal with that situation when the woman in verse number 27 touched the hem of his garment. And so in other gospel accounts, you find Jesus stopped. He dealt with this lady. And then Jairus, the daughter would die. And so that's where we're at here in the process. Verse 23, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. And so we see several things about Jairus this morning. Number one, we see his status could not stop sorrow. His status could not stop sorrow. Jairus had a title, but his title could not heal his daughter. Position cannot stop pain. Money cannot stop pain. Money cannot stop death. Religion cannot replace Jesus. Respectability cannot rescue the soul. And listen, this morning, there are some burdens that they do not care what your last name is, what your title is, or how much money you have. Everybody has needs. We see his status could not stop sorrow. Secondly, his delay tested his faith. His delay tested his faith. And so while Jesus is speaking to the woman, a message comes in. Notice verse number 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? By the way, that is the voice of unbelief. The voice of unbelief says the situation is too far gone. The voice of unbelief says, well, now it's too late. The voice of unbelief says, well, now it's too far gone. The voice of unbelief says there's no use in praying now. The voice of unbelief says, do not trouble the master anymore. But notice what Jesus says in verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. That is still the word today for troubled hearts. Don't listen to fear. Don't listen to finality. Do not listen to the crowd. but listen to Jesus. And we see thirdly, his daughter heard the voice of Christ. Notice verse 41. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha Comi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And then verse 42. And straightway, there's that word again. The damsel arose and walked, for she was the age of 12 years. By the way, the woman with the issue of blood had the issue for 12 years. Now, there's some thought that somewhere here that these were connected. We don't know that. Somewhere, the thought is that the daughter here is the daughter of that woman who had the issue of blood that was born. That we don't know. But it's very interesting, isn't it, that the woman had the issue for 12 years, and here this woman, or this girl, she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. Jesus spoke to a dead girl like she was only asleep. Because death itself hath no power against the voice of the Son of God. John 5:25, the Bible says, the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. When Christ speaks to the dead get up. We know that with Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth. You ever stop to think why he had to say, Lazarus, come forth? Because if all he said was, come forth, the whole cemetery would have got up and came forth. That's the power that he had. That's the power that he does have. And by the way, Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are ye saved, whereby you were dead in your trespasses and sins. You and I, we were dead, but when Christ spoke and we answered his call, you and I, we now pass from death unto life, and we became living once again because we became saved in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he has the power of death over those who are physically dead and those of us who were spiritually dead. You know, when a parent hears a child cry in the middle of the night, that parent does not say, oh, it's inconvenient. No. Love gets up and goes to the room. Jesus came crying for his daughter. Or Jairus, excuse me, came crying for his daughter, and Jesus went to the house. When everybody else said it was over, Jesus proved to get the final word. A man in the tombs, a woman in the crowd, a girl in the house. Different needs, different places, but one Savior. The need is different, but the answer is the same. Mark chapter 5 here shows us three kinds of need. The man needed deliverance. The woman needed healing. The daughter needed life. Jairus needed hope, and every one of them needed Jesus. And that ultimately is the message of Mark chapter 5. Listen, not everybody here has the same need, but everyone has some need. Not everybody carries the same burden, but everyone carries a burden. Not everybody's problems look alike, but everybody needs the same Savior. The man in the tombs could not fix himself. The woman in the crowd could not heal herself. Jairus could not save his daughter himself. And as sinners, we cannot and could not save ourselves. But here's the good news this morning, and that is that Jesus still delivers. Jesus still heals. Jesus still gives life. And Jesus still saves. Everybody this morning has needs. Everybody needs Jesus. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Let's stand together at our feet.